Father, we thank you for your presence. We ask that your word will come with fire. We ask that there will be transformations. Soul transformations. We ask that there will be deliverances. We ask that changes will take place in the lives of men. Take all the praise. Take all the glory. In Jesus' name. Sit down. I'll share with us for 15 minutes. I want us to really pray tonight. I want us to pray tonight. The spirit of intercession will hit this building. I wish you knew what I said. The spirit of intercession will hit this building. You know, man was created to exist in the midst and in the company of spirits. Before we were created, the entire universes of God were already predominated by spirits. We came here to live among spirits. Spirits existed before we were created. Many are not aware. So they assume the knowledge of physics, biology, economics, sociology, and philosophy is enough to order their steps. The greatest deception that happens to a man is to assume for a second that the resources of the soul is sufficient to order his destiny. What you need to understand is, in order for you to find value and meaning before you came, your destiny was already captured and written in scrolls. You were not sent into time to be creative. You were sent into time to follow a definite write-up that is already secured before the foundation of the world. As touching matters of destiny, creativity is not a factor. When you do business, you can be creative. When you study physics and chemistry, you can be creative. But when it has to do with the work of destiny, everything you will do was already written. And the reason God does that is because he sent you to exist in the midst of spirits. And he knows that spirits have the power to influence you. Your intelligence is dwarfed when you deal with a spirit. Every book you read will be dwarfed when you deal with a spirit. The guy who smokes, even on the very cigarette he smokes, is written, smokers are liable to die young. And he also knows he doesn't want to die young. But he can't stop. We can't take this word unless we download from heaven. I'm telling you, the churches, number of churches can increase. It doesn't translate to impact. As beautiful as it is, if the spirit of God and the government of his realm is not mirrored through those outlets, they will not be potters that represent the interest of heaven. A church is supposed to be a potter. A portal that represents the government and the interest of heaven. It's not a building. It's not an auditorium. It's a place where a spirit alights. His name is the Holy God. He alights and he establishes his government. And that place becomes a gateway from heaven to time. If we don't know how to stream from Zion, we will be many, but our numbers will count for nothing. Because in the battles of spirits, number is not an advantage. One angel can slay 185,000 soldiers in one night. Number is not an advantage, because when spirits war, they war by mysteries, they war by wisdoms, they war by secrets that were locked into the foundation of creation. This world was gathered together by an intelligence. It's a mystery. An engineer will tell you, until the foundation is strong, the building can't stand. But when a spirit wants to build, he puts the building on top water. In fact, it defies civil engineering intelligence. A civil engineer will tell you you can't build in muddy environment. But when a spirit wants to build, he said the foundation of the earth is upon the waters. Because the wisdom that powers the visible universe is beyond physics and chemistry. It's beyond biology and integrated science. We are scientists. I'm a master's degree holder in chemistry. I'm currently doing my PhD. I know what I'm telling you. Science is dwarfed when spirit intelligence is at work. When a doctor is operating, blood becomes a problem. He will scrape blood out, because the presence of blood will affect the operation. But the spirit said, life is in the blood. That is to tell you that the foundation of medicine is a lie. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You came to Port Harcourt, you bought a land in GRA, and you say we are cozy in GRA. You didn't know that before men were created, that region you call GRA, there is a prince in darkness that sits there. But you came after spiritual civilizations have already been established. So until you can tap into the frequency and the dimensions of heaven, you will not know that where you stand is a lie. That's why I said it's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. Even your body, the framework of your body is a lie. When you are 25 years old, your face is glowing. When you become 60, even the face begins to sag. To tell you that even your skin is a lie. If you bank on anything natural, you have wasted. Because there is no original foundation in time. Time is a realm of corruption. Time is a realm of vanity. There is no power in time. Everything that is in time is a pathway, it's a portal, it's a dimension created to allow for spiritual intelligence. Only the things that have their root in the spirit can stand. Anything that has its root in time is a lie. Because this realm has already been judged. Is a realm of vanity. So what God expects us to do is to leave heaven on earth. Our life is supposed to be an expression of the continuous progression of the movements of the Spirit of God. That's why the subject, when the Spirit takes over, is too important. In fact, the truth is that it's only when the Spirit takes over that life has meaning. So your date of birth is not when you came from your mother's womb. Your date of birth is when the Spirit takes over. You know, people celebrate birthdays once in a year, not for spiritual men. Every time we migrate in the Spirit, it's our birthday. We have leaped to another reality. We have leaped to another dimension. The day you came into this world, it's not the day you were born. It's the day the Spirit takes over, you were born. If not, everything you do is a lie. When you cross through the veil of time into eternity, you now discover that breath is not life. Life is the knowledge of God. Because even after we leave time, life continues. Departure from time is just an exchange of your external garment. Because this body is the cloth you need to function here. When you go to Zion, there's a celestial body. So what you call death is not death. It's a shift from one plane to another. Life is not breath. Life is the knowledge of God. Is the koinonia you have with the Spirit of God. People are dwarfed. Many people, they live by human philosophy. Sit down. Let me start gently. Where I want to start from, if I begin now, I won't finish. I may be on one point and then the energy in my spirit will explode. And how it works is that if the energy in my spirit explodes, the hall will also explode. Because what's happening in the hall is controlled by what's happening in my spirit. So I need to keep my spirit calm for the hall to be calm. Do you know how gods play? When a man wants to play, he distracts himself. When a god wants to play, he manifests power. He said, all things were created for your pleasure. That's how God played. So when God was bored and he wanted to play, he said, let there be light. Light appeared. A God played by displaying power. Many gods will be born here. You will see. If you enter into your reality, the things the devil brings us as oppression, it's an atmosphere for you to manifest. Because if there's no darkness, light can't shine. That's why the darkness is not taken away when the light shines. He said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness gives the light opportunity to shine. When we are done and you allow the spirit, what you call your problem will actually become your platform. The platform of a spiritual man is not a pulpit, it's his challenges. The healing anointing is useless unless they are sick people. You will begin to see how a God sees. You will see how a God sees. Nothing is a problem in time. The only problem is time is the lack of the knowledge of God. When you know God, everything becomes an avenue for you to explore. That's why the whole stories of victory in the Bible were born out of crisis. So if there were no crisis, there won't be mighty men. The reason you know somebody is a mighty man is because he warred and he won a lot of battles. So battles for him are the opportunities for his credentials in the spirit to increase. We don't fear problems. We don't call for them, but we don't fear them. When they come, we manifest. But there is a law that governs it. And that's what I want to show you. And I will use that to teach us what it means when the spirit takes over. Because you live among spirits, you were not created to use your strength. That's why when God calls men, he makes his strength perfect in their weaknesses. So in the economy of life, natural things are not an advantage. When God called the prophet Moses, he was a stammerer. God saw a lot of orators, but he called a stammerer so that everything he does will be a sign that there is an invincible thing manifesting through him. His life will become a testimony of a theater that gives expression to invincible dimensions. So you can't say somebody is excelling in ministry because he's fair, or he's excelling in ministry because he can talk. Talk is not an advantage. It's the power of the spirit. So if you know how to tap into the economy of the spirit, nothing becomes your challenge. Anything you do prospers. Because your destiny is to shine and to shine brighter unto the perfect day. But there is a government, there's a protocol, there's a technology that governs it. Many believers are not aware. Believers think that their advantage in life is predicated on their abilities. So they give so much time to develop themselves apart from God. Now, there is nothing wrong in self-development. I told you already I've schooled well. Because self-development is good. But if your life is couched around the premise of your natural ability, you're already disadvantaged. The reason is because you live among spirits. If you were living only among men, your natural advantages would have become good. Then the race would have become for the swift. The battle would have become for the strong. Because essence would have been captured around mortal advantage. But the problem is that there are immortal beings that are walking among us. And so because spirits are walking among us, our natural strength is no longer our advantage. We need to tap into an economy that is an advantage in their own realm. If we can't tap into what is an advantage in their own realm, we will be disadvantaged because their realm always dwarfs our realm. The natural realm is an offspring of the supernatural realm. The visible realm is an offspring of the invincible realm. So everything in the visible is a slave of the invincible. The way a man dominates in the visible is when he has influence in the invincible realm. If a man does not have influence in the invincible realm, all his natural advantages is a lie. A man can be a professor of medicine and surgery, but he will die of cancer. Do you know why? His knowledge is in the natural. But what you call cancer is a spiritual reality manifesting in the body. The body is the platform for cancer to manifest. But cancer is a spirit. He can die of high blood pressure even though he's a doctor of medicine. A PhD holder in medicine can die of high BP. Why? Because what you call sickness is a spirit manifesting through the body. Every natural thing is good, but it's a shallow foundation to build your destiny. The only thing that has the stamina to bear your destiny is in the spirit. So a man who does not draw from the spirit is already defeated. He's only waiting for time for it to manifest. He can be shining today. He has been judged in the spirit. In the next 10 years, when his own evil day comes, it will be proven to him that he built on sand. But you see, because he's in time and 10 years have not come, he thinks he's succeeding. In the invisible realm, there's no time. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. So what the spirit just did is that he allocated your day of destruction. Your own day of destruction comes in 5 years. Another comes in 10 years. The reason that day will not be your day of destruction is because beyond that spirit's understanding, you also know something in his realm. So the demon assumes you don't know anything in his realm. He thinks you are just man. And he knows that he can conquer man. So he comes to destroy. But when he comes, you prove to him that you are not the only person that have influence in your realm. In your realm, I have influence with the one that is the governor of that realm. And when your crisis comes and you begin to draw the resources from the quarters of the governor of that realm, then the demon will say, I wasted my resources. My resources are so limited. How did I waste it on this man? I didn't know that he has influence in my realm. So he will run away. So the reason people succeed in time is not because they are smart. It's because they draw from a source that is beyond time. Man was going in the direction of waste until God called Abraham. And he said, look, you won't succeed. Come out of your country. Come out of your kindred. Come out of your father's house to a land that I will show you. And he said, in blessing, I will bless you. The day came when Abraham understood that advantage is not in time. So when he conquered the kings that came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to give him the spoils of war. He said, I will not take a latchet from you, lest you say you made Abraham rich. He said, but I lift my hands to the God of heaven. Instantly, Melchizedek appeared and he called him Abraham, the friend of God. Laban said to Jacob, he said, I have come to understand by divination that God has prospered me because of you. The guy was a merchant, an intelligent businessman, but he knew that a spiritual equation was introduced into what he was doing. And on the strength of the superiority of that spiritual equation, he knew his advantage was beyond his techniques. His advantage was beyond his expertise. Do you see people that go to dark powers? Most times when the devil wants to show you how dwarfed the natural realm is, he will tell you, go and start a pure water business. And then you look around, there are 1,000 people selling pure water. He says, it's not about the pure water, it's about my influence. And the man begins to sell pure water and becomes a millionaire. You too now say, oh boy, pure water, they work, oh, make I enter pure water. And you enter pure water in the flesh. You will do all the marketing strategy and discover that the more you do, the more you will waste. Because the advantage is not in the natural, it's in the spirit. We have been invited into the fellowship of the divine. He said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, our hands have handled, and we have handled of the word of life. He said, that is the invitation we are bringing to you. He said, our fellowship is with the Father. There is a kind of fellowship we have that gives us the advantage we have in the natural. Even if you do spiritual thing, it will not succeed because it's a spiritual thing. It will succeed because you draw from the spirit. You can be praying and wasting if you don't draw from the Holy Ghost. You can start a church and waste if you don't draw from the Holy Ghost. Whether it is spiritual or natural is not a factor. It's whether you are drawing from the spirit that rules over that affair. Many don't know how. I've seen many young people who destroy themselves, that they are passionate for God. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know how to draw from the realm of God. They do what they do in the flesh and they know, but they lie to themselves. Men clap for them. They know that what they are doing, there is no connection with Zion. It's after 15 years they get tired, because it is the destiny of the outward man to perish. It is the inward man that is renewed day by day. There is something about the Holy Ghost. He empowers mortals. And I want to show you how the Holy Ghost empowers men. So that as we pray, you will not think when you pray loud something will happen. The power of prayer is not whether it is loud or quiet. The power of prayer is not whether it is fast or slow. The power of prayer is that there was a connection with the spirit that you are praying to. Many people don't know how to draw from God.
Hey,
Imagine you are bidding for a contract and you are 10. And out of 10 of you, 8 of you are Christian. Why will it be you? Where I come from in Benue State, there are more than 100,000 Christians. There are more than 10,000 preachers. There are more than 2,000 churches. Who told you that you will be heard? There must be something beyond the natural. Let me share something with you first so that I will teach you how to tap into it. God has three energy levels. God has three energy levels. And I can show you that from scripture. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible said something in verse 6 and in verse 11. See what the Bible says. To show you first the advantage of man. He said, and there are diversities of operations, but there is the same God which worketh all in all. The word worketh is the word energio. So what he's telling us is that every spiritual advantage that a man has, there is a God that energizes him. The word energio is the word energizing. So he said, every work that is a spiritual work, there is a God energizing the one doing it. So anybody carrying out a feat that is supernatural, there is a God that walk on his inside. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak, it is the Father that is in me that doeth the work. What does it mean? When a God is walking, he doesn't lift things on his shoulders. God's walk by talking. A God doesn't walk as a man walks. When a man wants to walk, he needs to use his energy. He will cultivate the land. He will sow a seed. He will water it. When a God wants to walk, he says, light be. God's walk by talking. So Jesus said, the words I speak is the Father that is in me that is doing the work. So 10 of us can submit contracts. But when I submit my own contract, I will go back. I will go and make them choose my own. 10 people can submit contracts on the basis of CV, on the basis of experience. But where you submitted that contract, there's a politician that have interest. The reason yours will be picked will be beyond your credentials. So when I submit my own contract, there is something I know how to do. The energizing of God. He said that's the advantage of the believer. Every believer doing exploit, there is a God energizing him. The same scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He said, but all this worketh that one and the self-same spirit, dividing unto every man severally as his will. So all this energizing is by the spirit given to every man to function according to the will of God. So it is God that energizes men first to live a victorious life. Secondly, so that they can do his will. As I am preaching now, if the Holy Ghost doesn't energize me, I'm not doing the will of God. Because I can be powered here by ego. I can be powered here for many reasons. God will not be part of it. The only reason this thing will be the will of God is because God is the one energizing. And the only reason this thing will produce profit is because God is the one energizing. And it has nothing to do with the pulpit. Or rather, it's not only about the pulpit. Even in the market, the reason your business will flourish is because God is the one energizing. All of us will apply the necessary strategy. But at the end of the day, the person who comes up top is the one that God is what? Energizing. And there are three energy levels in God. Great men tap into those three energy levels. I will show you. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 9 to verse 10, the Bible began to teach us. You know, Sometimes the reason we use Greek words is not because we want to sound bogus. It's because you can't understand a lot of things until you go to the original language. English language is one of the weakest languages. In ancient times, wisdom began from ancient languages that were farther in knowledge than English. The reason we are compelled to use English is because we were colonized by the British. This book was written in three languages. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament is written in Greek. There are certain things that are shrouded if only you read in English. That's why sometimes we draw out Greek terms to explain things. For example, when you use the word knowledge in Greek, it means many things. One word for knowledge is Sophia, wisdom. And wisdom means acquisition of knowledge. It means love for knowledge. And that's in the soulish realm. Another word for knowledge is idol. Idol doesn't necessarily mean you know, but it means you are aware. Idol means awareness. So I can be here now and I'm aware that something is happening outside because people are shouting. It doesn't mean I know what's happening outside. It could be an accident. It could be a rally. So idol is greatly limited. It's still in the soulish. Another word for knowledge is epignosis. Epignosis means experience. So in this one, you are not only aware, but you are part of what is happening. Because you experience what is happening. Another word for knowledge is ginosko. And ginosko means you have become one with what you know. So it's a knowledge that produces results. Epignosis means you have experience, but there may not necessarily be results. But when you use ginosko, it means that experience produces results. For example, a husband and wife are having intercourse, but there are no children. But when they have intercourse and there is a child, that experience is a profitable experience that produces results. Now, in the Greek, all of this means knowledge. And you are reading your Bible, you don't know when it says idol. You don't know when it says Sophia. You don't know when it says epignosis. You don't know when it says ginosko. You see how limited we are. That's why we study sometimes in a deeper language. And I want to show you the energy levels of God using two Greek terms. One is allos. The other is heteros. You know, Jesus said in John 16:13, he said, I will go to the Father, but he will send another spirit, another comforter. The word another comforter there is allos parakletos, or the paraclete. It means of the same kind. That means me and him came from the same source to do the same thing. Now, the word heteros means another, but of a different kind. If you study 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 9, the Bible began to talk to us about the gifts of the Spirit. And remember, it has told us already in verse 11 and in verse 6 that these gifts of the Spirit are the what? Energizings of the Holy Spirit. So every time a gift of the Spirit is at work, it is what? The energizing of the Spirit. For example, this sound you can hear because electricity is energizing it. The amplifier is being energized by electricity. The bulb is being energized by electricity. Now, a lower energy can carry this light. But for you to power the mixer, you need a higher voltage. It is the same electricity, but what? Different energy level. So there is a measure of electric power that can give you illumination. But all you need is not illumination. There is another measure of electric power that can carry your iron. That's why when you on your generator, the bulbs are on, it's cool. The moment you on your iron, the generator will respond. And if the generator is not built to carry iron, it will off. Because the energy required to power the pressing iron is a higher energy level. See, that is why in some part of your life you succeed. But when you step into higher responsibility, an energy level is not higher. You that was succeeding, all of a sudden you start failing. You say, God, where are you? The problem is not with God. The problem is the energy level you can draw. That's why it looks as if God is favoring one Christian more than the other. It's a lie. It is energy level. If you deal with God at the lowest energy level, that energy level may be enough to keep you and your family. And you have what you eat every day. But now you want to do a business that is global. You need a higher energy level. The energy level that should sustain you and your family is not the same energy level that will power a global business. That's why you were not failing when you were selling in a kiosk. Now you started a company and you started failing. And then all of a sudden, no contract is being awarded. You send your proposals, they throw them away. The energy level you operate with is enough for a kiosk, not for a global company. You can be a preacher. You have fellowship of 5 people, 10 people, and every day you speak, they fall under the anointing. They are so excited. Now you want to preach to Nigeria. And then when you come out, without your rhema is accurate. It is doctrinally accurate. Your exegesis is sound, but there is no energy. So you are preaching what you are preaching. After 1 year, 5 people are following you. And you are wondering what is going on. It's not about who is preaching best. It's about the energy level you are operating from. There are 3 energy levels in God. The first energy level in God. Okay, let me read it. So you see, there are some things that are hidden in this book. If you can't find it, you won't make progress in life. He said, for to one is given by the Spirit. Okay, let me begin from verse 7. He said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Listen now. What is he telling us? In verse 6, he said the Spirit what? Energizes. In verse 7, he said this energizing is unto a manifestation that profits. That means your profiting is tied to the manifestation of the Spirit in your life that is a proponent of the energizing of the Spirit. So if a man is not profiting, if a man is struggling, the problem is that there is not enough manifestation of the Spirit in his life, and that insufficient manifestation of the Spirit is tied to the energy of the Spirit that is drawing per time. So if that man wants greater profit, if he wants greater manifestation, what does he do? He draws more energy. Most of the things we are troubling God for, he won't do anything about it. That's why you are praying over the matter for 5 years. God have not answered. The reason is because God have already answered in Christ. But you can't draw the energy to produce the answer. He says, say to this mountain. He didn't say to God. So if you like, report to God about the mountain for 10 years, he won't do anything. Because the law is what? Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. And if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. So when you come and meet God and you are talking to God about the mountain, he has already told you the answer to the mountain. He said the answer to the mountain is to command the mountain. So if there's no energy to command the mountain, what you do is you draw energy. When we go for impartation, do you know what we do? We are borrowing from other people's energy. Because there are certain things I want to do. It will take 1 year to build energy. But suddenly, Apostle Joseph Suleiman comes to town. And I know that he has more than enough energy. Some energy reserve he has, he won't use in 5 years. So when I come and honor him, what he does is that the energy reserve he will not be needing for next year, he will deposit some of them in me. And then for that period, I will run by that energy and achieve what I want to achieve. That's why it is very important to honor graces. Because we need energy partnership to achieve certain things. When you see people dishonor graces, they are not wise. They are on their way to struggle. They will struggle for a long time. We don't honor men because they are the best. We don't honor men because they are perfect. We honor men because in the sequences of God's operation, in the cadres of the Spirit, they are higher than us. And without every contradiction, the less is best of the better. Sometimes we deliberately travel to go and borrow energy. What I want to achieve, we take 1 year to generate this energy. But there is somebody called Reverend Dr. Umar Okpai. The energy he has now, even if he dies, God forbid, is enough to raise the dead. Meanwhile, Elijah was buried with energy that was able to raise the dead. People were struggling in the land. They didn't discern him. If they discerned him, he wouldn't have gone to the grave with that energy. So there are energy levels in God. He said, for one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge to another. My emphasis is the word to another. He said, to another is given the word of wisdom. And then he said, to another. Now, the another between word of knowledge and word of wisdom is allos. But the another between word of wisdom and gift of faith is hekteros. If you read it, the next 4 gifts from gift of faith to discerning of spirits is allos. So you notice that the first 2 gifts of the Spirit
are of the same kind is allos. Between the first two gifts of the Spirit and the next five is heteros. So he separates the first two gifts from the next five. And then after the next five, the next another is heteros. He separates the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues from the middle five. So it is 2, 5, 2. Three categories of energy. First two energy in one class. Second two energy in another class. And then the last two energy in another class. So from the realm of God, you have an energy level. You have another energy level. You have another energy level. And those gifts that are the energizing of the Spirit are categorized into three different energy levels. So word of knowledge, word of wisdom are in the first class of energy level. From gift of faith to discerning of spirit is in another class of energy level. And then gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is in another class of energy level. Did you notice that the easiest gift to operate in is speaking in tongues? Is the lowest energy level. You cannot just stand up and pray and function in word of knowledge at will. It doesn't work like that. That's a higher energy level. You tap there. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14, Paul said, I will pray in the spirit. He said, praying in the spirit is according to his will. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in my understanding. So praying in the spirit is willingly. That energy level is the lowest energy level. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you can flow in the spirit. You can pray in tongues. Pa, 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 pa. And then if you study from the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 2, the first energy level the church tapped into is the gift of tongues. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 that as the Holy Ghost came upon them, they began to speak in diverse kinds of tongues. I want to show you something today that will make you a victor in life. Pay attention. See, if I impart you, you will carry it for a while and you will lose it. Do you know why? You don't lose impartations because you are careless. You lose impartation because there is a government that regulates every dimension. So if I meet Reverend Chris Oyakhilome and he imparts me, that impartation will be with me for a while. But after a while, the impartation will begin to look for the consecration to rest on. Because that impartation, that energy is sustained by a consecration. And if I don't have that consecration, after a while, the impartation will lift. Because what makes him operate at that level sometimes is that for a year he fasts throughout. Sometimes he doesn't talk for weeks. Sometimes he has to study and meditate on scriptures for hours. I heard of him one day, he was to go for a healing meeting and he was meditating on how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wanted to meditate for 30 minutes and go for the meeting. And when he started meditating, he was there for 3 hours. The ushers came to say, sir, it's time for the meeting. Everybody that entered the room where he was meditating, the power of God threw the person out. So they couldn't call him until the healing meeting was over. The route, the radar of energy that he was generating by that meditation made his environment impregnable for ordinary men. Now, a man who functions at that level of intense meditation now imparts you. After a while, that impartation will begin to seek that intensity of meditation. Meanwhile, you meditate for 5 minutes. You say, Lord, the Lord is my strength. I shall not want. In 2 weeks, the energy will lift. So impartations are beautiful, but they are momentary. What will carry you through life is your ability to tap into different energy levels and to sustain it, to keep it, to stay there. I can preach the same message as Apostle Arome Osai, but when we are talking, the weight will be different. He functions at a higher energy level. I can speak and teach the same message with Apostle Joshua Selman, but when he's talking, the weight will be different. He functions at another energy level. If you want to be a victor in life, what you need is to grow in energy levels. It's beyond what happens in church. See, people were falling down in their numbers now. I'm not moved. Thank God for those he's touching, but I know it's for a season. I have a consecration that powers that dimension. And the people that received it, after 2 weeks, if they don't enter into that government, because the consecration, the impartation will bring a government upon your life. That's why sometimes you go for a meeting, you return, you want to fast for 21 days. What you receive from that meeting is bringing you into a government. Sometimes you go for a meeting and then you step out of that meeting. The anointing that came on you will start waking you up at night. 12, you wake up. And the first day you pray in tongues for 3 hours. The second day, as you are praying in tongues, the energy will become stronger. If you stop, the impartation will lift. Because what powers that dimension is the ability to sow in the night. You know, the night dimension is the eagle's dimension. It's the power to ascend above darkness. And only people who carry the dimension of the eagle can fly above the tides. And the eagle's dimension is the dimension of speed. So when you see a man moving so fast, it's a dimension. When he rests on you, it has a government. The energy levels of God. So the first church, they were blasting in tongues. After a while, they graduated from that energy level. And from Acts chapter 4, something happened. Something began to happen. And in verse 30, he said, with great power, with great power, he gave witness to the apostles. They had moved from tongues to power. The second energy level, where the gift of faith operates, where the gift of healing operates, where the gift of working on miracles operates, where the gift of the discernment of spirits operates. It's not just tongues anymore. Power has come. And after a while, in chapter 5, they moved further. And the Bible said they began to operate in word of knowledge. He said, Ananias sold land. And they brought a portion. And Peter said, how? In verse 3, he said, why have you allowed Satan entered your heart? They were not operating in that dimension before. They began with tongues. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 4, they entered into the power dimension. Acts chapter 5, they entered into the prophetic dimension. They were migrating from energy level. And when they hit the third energy level, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it said, and the word of the Lord grew and waxed strong. The word of the Lord grew. Something began to happen. They began to dominate because they were ascending in energy level. Any believer who doesn't grow in energy level will not be a victor in life. Do you see why we emphasize prayer? When we say pray, it looks as if we are saying prayer is the only thing. Pray as if prayer is the only thing, because that's where you kickstart the energy journey from. Many believers are weak. It may not show in church, but what exposes our weakness are the circumstances that encounter us. What you are complaining about is not everybody complaining about it. You are complaining about it because of the energy you can bring to the table. There are people that sickness hit them. They look at it and say, get out, Satan. The sickness that killed another Christian and took him to the grave, that sickness came to another person. It was told of Bishop David Oedeko 30 years ago. He went, his brother came and said, no, they must check out. You know, those days, medicine just began to evolve. So they got equipments of testing high BP and they wanted to do it on everybody. When his cousin wouldn't let him, he said, okay, check. The cousin now check and shouted, how come your BP is like this? Lie down. They need to give you drip. He said, not me. Not me was enough for 30 years. Not me is still enough. You know why? When God said, let there be light, it won't end. Light keeps spreading. The word of God keeps expanding forever and ever. That's why if you look at the galaxies, you see that the planets, they keep spreading. The planets, they are spreading till today. And when you look at each planet, it carries light. That let there be light is still spreading. Everything God says is eternal. So when he said, not me, for the next 20 years, not me is still not me. Meanwhile, high BP have killed many Christians. So the problem is not high BP. Where are you walking from? Where are you functioning from? This same Port Harcourt where people are running on the street, there are other people that are so wealthy, they don't know what to do with money. The difference is where they are walking from. So instead of you to run after things, run after God. Because if you get the right energy, you begin to command things to work in your favor. The first energy level is governed by a law. It's called the law of faith. In Romans chapter 3 verse 27, Paul was talking about our victory as believers. And the victory was so intense that it attracted boasting. But Paul said, in what do we boast? Is it in the law of works? He said, no. He said, it's in the law of faith. So the first victory in life that is in the first energy level is governed by the law of faith. That's why speaking in tongues, you don't need to feel anything. You pray in tongues by faith. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you begin to pray in tongues. By what? By faith. It is governed by the law of faith. When you begin to function by that law, there is something it does to you. The word is endunamo. It means to be invigorated. It's in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He said, and Abraham was not weak in faith. He was strong. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. The word strong in faith is the word endunamo. So it's a kind of power that comes upon a man that makes him defeat the circumstances of life. And he said, Abraham did not consider his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was strong in faith. So the victory Abraham had over his dead body and over the deadness of Sarah's womb was called endunamo. The moment a man has endunamo, 50 people can submit their projects. 50 people can submit their proposal. By endunamo, he will defy the mountain. Because it's working by the first energy level. And what makes for the working of the first energy level are the things I will show you in a moment. If I were you, I would pray. Prayer is how we build energy. That's where I'm going to. A Christian who is not praying is a Christian who is already defeated, waiting to manifest. The problem is that your defeat is first in the spirit. It may take 6 months to manifest in time. You're already defeated. The cure to defeat is the ability to generate endunamo. If you have that endunamo, even if 10 mountains gather around you, yourself become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. The second law which governs the second energy level is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. The law of the spirit of life. While the first energy level deals with circumstances, the second energy level deals with your nature. That's where men have victory over sin. That's where men have victory over demons. That's where men have victory over the flesh. Except for the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus have set me free from the law of sin and death. The word set me free is the word eleutero. It means deliverance. The same word in use is used in Romans chapter 8 verse 21. He said, for creation is in bondage, traveling and waiting for deliverance. Waiting for deliverance. The word deliverance used is the word eleutero. So the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus saves you from waste. It saves you from death. It saves you from corruption. That is the power to live holy in a world of iniquity. You know, some people have been so weakened on their inside that if you tell them somebody is living right, they think it's a lie. They assume all of us are sinning. Never make your experience the standard of God. Elijah was there. He thought everybody had bowed. And God said, in this land, there are over 7,000 prophets that have not bowed their knees to Baal. And in Romans chapter 11, Paul said, in every generation, there is a remnant. Just the way there were 7,000 men in the days of Elijah. Not everybody is fornicating. Not everybody is stealing. Not everybody is lying. Not everybody is demonized. The reason is because some people are functioning by eleutero. The power of eleutero is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And the way to activate that law is by yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what brings you to the second energy level. You can have faith and command mountain and it will move, but you still live as a fornicator. Because there are two different energy levels. There's one energy level that makes you challenge natural things, circumstantial things. There's another energy level that builds you in God until you have the stature of the princes that stand in the presence of God. Do you see why a man of God can be mighty in power, mighty in utterance, yet is a babe? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1, he said they did not come short of any spiritual gift. He said they were mighty in utterance. They were mighty in the gifts of the spirit. But in verse 3, he said, are ye not carnal? Are ye not as unto spiritual? Are ye not like men? What makes men to function like gods on the face of the earth is another energy level. It's called Elutero. That's why even in the courts, the tabernacle of the Old Testament, the outer court is for every Jew. Because we function there by the light of the sun. Anybody can come there and produce their sacrifice. But the inner court is only for the priest. The light of the inner court is not the sun. The light of the inner court is the menorah. It is the burning lamps that stands in the presence of God. The strength of the inner court is not the food you ate from home. The strength of the inner court is the shoe bread. There is another light, another civilization, another economy that powers you from within. That is Elutero. And when you function by that law, devils will be helpless around you. Because there is a power that it generates. The third energy level is powered by the law of righteousness. In Romans chapter 9 verse 27, Paul began to teach us about the law of righteousness. He said this law, the Jew tried to attain it, they couldn't. Because the law of righteousness is attained by grace. And when the law of righteousness is activated, something happens. It transforms a man. Because the word for the third energy level is metamorpho. He said, I beseech you dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, be not conformed with this to this word, but be a metamorpho. The word in English is metamorphosis. It means the elements of your being is changed into the elements of God. That's what Paul was teaching when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 45. He said, the first man was of the earth. He said, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. He said, as is the earthly, earthy, but as is the heavenly, he said, heavenly. He said, why the first man is a living soul? The second man is a life-giving spirit. And he said, we also, the same way we have borne the earthly, he said, we must also bear the heavenly. The word is what? Metamorpho. That's the third energy level of God. The first energy level of God deals with your circumstance. External circumstances. The second energy level of God deals with your internal environment. That's where you deal with flesh and demonic oppression. The third energy level of God transforms you to become like God. These are the three realms of victory in this life. The third realm is superior because that realm does not only give you victory in life, it will give you victory also in heaven. That was what Paul entered into, and he said, I have finished my course. I have run my race. I have kept the faith. There remaineth for me now the crown of life. So there's a way to live in this world and have victory not only in time, but in eternity. In these four energy levels, power is given in packets. You know, I study electromagnetic chemistry. So I understand the principles of light in electromagnetic radiation. You can see light flowing like a stream of light. But the truth is that light is given in packets. We call it quanta. You are seeing it like a stream, but it's actually packets. They move at different speed. The speed of light. That's why you can't distinguish the packets. But ideally, they move in packets. When you begin to advance in these laws, the power of God that streams into your spirit in form of light comes to you in packets. In packets. So the first time you began to engage in dunamo, at first you wake up, you are tired. And then you start praying. Shaba, shaba, shaba. Shaba, shaba, shaba. Shaba, shaba. Kapakuba. Ediava kesi. Nevele kuate. Ijijina da. Liguduva. Akita kapate. Another time. Kobask. Itagida. Afade. You will not even know where your door is. The next time you were praying like this, when you opened your eye, you were facing here. Another force have carried you away. The reason is because you are no longer walking through the natural eye. You are now walking through the heavenly eye. And dunamo has come. Have you seen people? We are praying in church, and everybody is praying in their seat sanctimoniously. Silabandre kibo rahaziva kida actas. Ferondre kiba radia shalamande kido varadina sanza. Himanadi govaniga sarega. After a while, and dunamo begins to come. And the guy who is kiborania fatakira aradiga, we hear kuba kukaka. Ifedeguba itigataka. Even your tongues will change. Because it's another frequency. and dunamo.
There are four words for power in Hebrew, in the Greek. The first is exousia. The second is dunamis. The third is kratos. And the fourth is iskus. Now, you receive dunamis when you receive the Holy Ghost. So, when you begin to stir yourself, naturally dunamis is released. So, dunamis is predicated upon the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. You received exousia when you became part of the body of Christ. So, exousia is positional. It's an executive power that is tied to your position with Christ. That's why a governor functions by exousia. It's a position-based power. It's an executive power. An executive power deals with what? Natural things. Dunamis is a function of the operation of the Holy Ghost within you. That's why in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, it said God is able to do exceeding abundantly according to the dunamis that is at work in you. So when you participate and partner with the Holy Spirit, dunamis flows naturally from you. When you know who you are in Christ, you grow in exousia. Exousia is not a function of speaking in tongues. Dunamis is a function of speaking in tongues. Exousia is a function of your revelation of who you are in Christ and the degree to which you submit to the office and the government of that Christ that you have known. So the more you know about him and yield to him, you grow in authority. The more you engage the Holy Ghost, you grow in dunamis. But the problem is this. Exousia cannot function without kratos. And dunamis cannot function without iskus. Dunamis rests upon iskus. Exousia rests upon kratos. Exousia is external in operation. Dunamis is external in operation. There has to be another foundation of power that supports and counterbalances the external power. Those internal power is what kratos and iskus is. If you study Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible said the way you can defeat demons. Remember, you defeat demons by what? Exercising your authority in the name of Jesus, right? But he's telling you that in addition to your revelation of your authority in the name of Jesus, there is another power you must have on your inside that knowledge will rest upon. So he said, be strong in the Lord. Be energio in the Lord. And in the kratos of his iskus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So a man who has the revelation of Jesus but does not have enough kratos in his spirit cannot exercise authority against demons. That's why theologians with their knowledge of Jesus Christ and of the born again believer can't cast out devils. They have the revelation but they don't have the kratos. They are not strong. They are not strong in the Lord. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, it says God. Let me read it. I want to show you a few things. So as we pray, you will apply yourself. I came to realize that believers are emotional. If I come here and I change the atmosphere, all kinds of things will happen here. But give 1 week. The same people who caught fire shouting, they don't know what to do to sustain it. I'm teaching you what to do. To be on fire 24 hours a day. I know a lot of people who are given to prayer, but they are still not powerful. I know people who are given to the word, they are not powerful. They engage dunamis, they engage exousia, but there's no kratos. So exousia rests on nothing. Ephesians, look at this. This is just foundation. If I explain it, then I'll tell you what to do to build yourself in the energy level. Ephesians 1, verse 19. After he showed us the three benefits that we have upon the receipt of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he now said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis? That's power. To us, word, who believe according to his mighty power. So there is an exceeding greatness of his power at work in you. According to what? To his mighty power. The first word power is the word dunamis. So what he said is that you may know the exceeding greatness of dunamis that is at work in you. But he said dunamis is according to what? To iskus kratos.
according to his mighty power. So if there's no iskus and kratos, dunamis will not work. Exousia will not work. That's why most of you cannot have victory in life. So the true energy levels of God are not the ones we receive either by the baptism of the Holy Spirit or by the revelation of Christ. They are the ones we build in our walk with the Holy Spirit and in our cooperation with the Spirit of Christ within us. You build dunamis by effectual fervent prayer. You build dunamis by prevailing prayer. You build dunamis by praying through in the Spirit. So there are many believers. If you have a problem, your problem may look big, but when you pray for a while, you become energized. You can deal with that problem. That's why in Philippians 6:7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but by all things, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that surpasses knowledge garrisons your heart. It's in that peace that the power of God is manifested. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. You get that? So when we pray through, dunamis is activated, but that's momentary. That's why you are the one who opened a deaf ear now. You are going out of the service. You see another person who is deaf, you become afraid. You are the one who said, Holy Spirit, 30 people went under the power. You came back for the next service, you are afraid. The reason is because the dynamics you generate is for momentary purpose. You can't carry it for a lifetime. It will kill you. If that anointing remains on you, you will die. It will kill yourselves. It's like high electric volts. It will kill you. So we generate dynamics to use. So every time we prevail in prayer, we come with enough dynamics. And every time we want to deal with a circumstance, we must generate dynamics. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly according to what? The power that you generate. Right? But iskus that dynamics rest upon is not built by prevailing prayer. Iskus is built by consistent prayer. Because iskus is a foundation. The guy who prays in tongues for 10 hours, if he goes for a meeting, he may manifest more than the guy who pray in tongues for 1 hour. But the guy who pray in tongues for 10 hours for one meeting will not have victory in life like the guy who pray in tongues for 1 hour every day. The guy who prays in tongues for 1 hour every day has a foundation of prayer. The guy who prays in tongues for 10 hours for one meeting has a manifestation of prayer. So, dunamis is generated by prevailing prayer. Iskus is generated by consistent prayer. That's why the same way we emphasize long prayer, that's how we emphasize consistent prayer. So if you know you pray in tongues for 10 hours and you go on holiday for 3 weeks, better pray in tongues for 1 hour every day. You are more effective. It was Bruce Lee that said, he is not afraid of the man that can punch 1,000 times in one day. He said he's afraid of the man that can punch 1 time for 1,000 days. The man who punches 1 time for 1,000 days have stamina. That stamina is called iskus. The man who punches 1,000 times in one day has momentary victory. He's inspired, but he's not strong. In the day of trouble, it is men that have consistent power that will survive. That's why he said, if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because God does not exist. He says, because your strength is little. Many people are not yet married. The problem is that there is no iskus. There's no iskus. They went for a revival meeting, and for 3 weeks they were on fire, but they fainted. Some people are struggling for breakthrough, but there's no iskus. But the guy who have iskus, every time challenges come, he mounts up with wings like the eagles. From nowhere, his wings will appear. In the midst of trials, that's where he shines. So the same thing that is killing others is what is causing another man to go high. The flood that destroyed the earth was the flood that sustained the ark of Noah. So the problem is not the flood. The problem is, who are you? You generate dynamis by prevailing prayer. You generate iskus by consistent prayer. And then when it deals with exousia, you generate exousia by the opening of scripture and the proceeding word of God. So when the word of God comes to you, you are powerful. Authority is a function of the proceeding word of God. That's why I say, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4 verse 4. But by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. For every circumstance, there is a proceeding word. So what gives men authority is the ability to function by the proceeding word. Most times, you think people are just quoting scriptures. My brother, I've quoted a lot of scriptures and the mountains remained. And I'm not using my experiences, but I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. I followed Bishop Oyedepo in a season of my life for 2 years straight. I heard him every day for hours. I so heard the man that my intonation changed. I quoted scriptures like a tap. But when I quote scripture and I finish sweating, the mountain tell me, welcome back to earth. I'm still here. I now realize these men, they have meditated on scripture so much that every second, scripture is passing through their head. So you see them walking, they say, ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even when they are preaching, ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In scriptures flying everywhere. The reason they have so much authority is because the frequency is not stopped. It's just like the radio wave. If your antenna is set, every second something is passing. The reason they have authority is because the proceeding word is unending in their lives. And the way to enter there is to sit on the scriptures for a long time. So do not... exousia is a function of the proceeding word. If you appear before a problem and you check your spirit, no word comes. You are already defeated. Anything you do there is in the flesh. And I challenge you to go and try it. You'll be amazed. The proceeding word must become part of your everyday life. That's where your authority hinges. And that's the mystery and the secret of exousia. The first time they cast out devils and raised the dead, he told them, go out. For I give you power. Behold, I give you power over all sicknesses and diseases. And raise the dead. And they came back, they were celebrating. There was a proceeding word. Every time there's a proceeding word, there's authority. But beyond that operation of the spirit, you must also build Kratos. You see, Kratos is what makes men invincible. Kratos is a foundation of truth that have been established in your spirit. So you have become one with what he said. You are no longer waiting for the proceeding word. You are no longer separated from the proceeding word. Let there be light is your reality. You have so mingled with this thing that you can't separate you from what God says. You see, many preachers go for meetings and they have reprisal attacks. They have a great meeting, somebody dies, or there's an attack in their home. The problem is that they have authority. They have exousia. So when they went for the meeting, they rebuke demons, but they don't have Kratos. So when they finish what they do, they come back, they are afraid. But the man who has Kratos, even if he wakes up from bed and they tell him this is the devil, he will say, are you not aware that the angels that did not keep their first estate, he cast them to be bound in the bottomless pit? What are you doing here? Every day, every time, there's a pillar of truth standing in his spirit. That's what it meant. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's an experience we have. Everything God says become our reality. For you to walk in Kratos, you must labor in the word of God until you become one with the word. While exousia is a function of the proceeding word, Kratos is oneness with the word. So the word is not moving. You are one with the word. That's why I say this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, should not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night to see that you make thy way prosperous and have good success. The word has become one with you. He said, my son, attend to my word. Give thine ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Put them in the midst of thy heart. They are life to them that find them. A man who walks with Kratos has found the living word. I know you know the Logos, but do you know the living word? It was John that said, I was in the isle called Patmos. The island of Patmos means the island of my death. The place of my dying. So the man had come to a hopeless end. But he said, and the word of the Lord came to me. They know the word. They don't know the Logos alone. They know the living word. That which was from the beginning. which we have heard, which we have looked upon, but we didn't stop there. He said, now we handle it. I have the word. I handle it. I handle it. If you have the proceeding word, you can walk in authority, but the devil can look for a way to get you. But when the word becomes you, and you become the word, you become invincible. That's why I said that they may be one with us, as you and I are one. That's the mystery of Kratos. How do you generate this power? For tonight, I can only talk about East Coast, so that we can engage it. I told us already, East Coast is what? The ability to build consistency in prayer. Dunamis is what? Ability to pray through. Exousia is what? Ability to discern the proceeding word. And Kratos is the ability to be established upon the word. He said, the man that builds his house upon the rock, even if the wind hits upon it, he said, that house will not fall. He is standing on something that is Kratos. The measure of this four dimensional power you walk in is the energy level of God we are walking in. Some of us are the first energy level. So all we have is tongues. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If all you have is tongues, tell yourself tonight is enough. I must pray into power. Because there are people dying in your families. There are situations that have defied every human intelligence. You must draw from the spirit realm as well. And you may be that man who is praying, but you are godless. You tell yourself, it's enough. There must be a dimension that I will be impregnated with tonight. And just in case you want to be impregnated with a dimension tonight, stand up like somebody who have discovered something and wants to explore. Hallelujah. 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 I was ministering in Igbinedion University. And before stepping out for the meeting, I knelt down to pray. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, I have given to you already everything you need for your destiny. And I realize my destiny is no longer in the hand of God. My destiny is now in my hands. That's God trusting in you. When you depend on God, it's called faith. When God depends on you, it's called faithfulness. The secret of victory in life is a combo between faith and faithfulness. What the Holy Ghost was telling me that night is, the degree to which you apply yourself to truth becomes the boundary of your blessings. Tonight, I want to give you a few minutes to do business with God. Forget your neighbor. Listen. When I want to teach, sometimes I deliberately calm down so that people can understand what I'm saying. Because when I flow by high inspiration, most times people hear the message three times to understand what I'm saying. Most times when I preach, people hear the message like two, three times before they understand. But when I want people to hold something, I settle down to teach. And when I'm done teaching, I get them to apply it. The way I started ministry, I would have continued like that for 2 hours. Power of God moving, I'll be calling cases and dealing with them. But you will not be strong. We did that in the body of Christ for many years. So we have few men shining on the altar. They prophesy on you from January to December, and you cannot develop anything in God. Some of you have not even started applying dunamis. Kratos may take 6 months. Some of you have not known exousia. Iskus will take long. But tonight, by all means, at least provoke dunamis. Pray until you leave your weakness. You know, when I started learning to fast, around 4 p.m. in the evening, I get so hungry. My stomach usually wakes up around 4 p.m. and I want to eat. Sometimes, when I try to endure and it's not working, I'll just tell myself, only the living serve the Lord. If I die today, this thing will finish. I will go and get something very delicious and eat. And tell God, let's try tomorrow. And then tomorrow when it's 4 o'clock, 4:30, I'll say, Kai, only the living serve the Lord. I'll go and carry yogurt. And when I drink, I'll get myself back. I'll say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Until one day, I wanted to eat. And the Holy Ghost said, pray in tongues loud. I tried to, but there was no energy. And I looked for a chant. As the chant was praying, I started praying in tongues. After a while, I left my body. And I tapped into another energy. When I finished praying, it was after 2 hours. 6 o'clock had passed. I was no longer hungry. I was up till the next day, 6 o'clock the next day. That was the first time I prayed, I fasted for 48 hours. I now discovered, if I fast only by ATP, I will have ulcer and I will die. So I realized the secret of fasting for long is the ability of tapping away from physical energy and tapping into divine energy. So the reason Moses was on the mountain for 40 days is not because he was doing endurance. He entered into eternal dimensions. So time was withdrawn. The reason Babalola fasted for 40 days is not endurance. He entered another economy. And so the powers of his economy was withdrawn. And that's when the powers of the divine begins to work. Victors in life, champions in life, they are not just wise by human philosophy. They apply principles, but they have something in the spirit. When God came to Adam, he said, Adam, Adam, where are thou? The powers that Adam had was not because he was wise. Adam was a prince in the galaxies of God. So when God showed up, Adam was no longer on his throne in the universe of God. And he said, where are thou? God is omniscient. He was not looking for Adam. He was asking Adam a question. You have been dethroned from the realm where you function in. You are among the princes of heaven. You sit where the archangels sit. How come? You are no longer on your throne. Your throne is empty. Where are thou? You are a psalmist. The world is supposed to hear you 3 years ago. You are doing good voice and doing harmony. You are doing transposition. You are doing pitching. You will pitch for a long time in Port Harcourt. What will cause you to break through the gates of the land is another energy. You are here walking about. You say you are an apostle. You wear white suit with white shoe. It's not white suit and white shoe that made Benihim global. It was a power. A power. The psalmist said, by God, I ran through a troop. By God, I leaped over a wall. My roots are upon many mountains. The guy had power in heaven. That's why when Saul fell, he came and he said, what? David was angry. But David was not quarreling with Saul's soldiers. He went and began to curse mountains. What David fought with were not normal. He fought with spiritual dimension. He said, cursed be the mountains of Gibeah. For you were standing in the day that the Lord's anointed fell. That means when David fight, even the air fight, the mountains fight. David had power to command the visible realm to fight for him. That's why David will never go for war. He said, when you see the mulberry tree move, I have gone ahead. The guy had power in the heavens. Everyone that has advantage in time, he has powers in the heavens. Joshua conquered 31 kings. You will think it's military intelligence, military strategy. Once upon a time, in 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 12, Joshua was fighting and it was becoming late. He knew that his ministry, military intelligence could not function at night. So he said, let the sun stand upon the mountains of Ajalon. He said, let the moon stand upon the valleys of Gibeah. And the Bible said the sun did not make haste to go down. He said, in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. So God to hear men. Yes, they are the men that have power with God. A sorcerer can enter your house and say, nobody will marry. When you rise up, you say, let Reuben live and not die. Yes. And let his men not be few.
Yes.
Because you have power with God. You want to pray in the spirit. It's time. Parakai. Fire Sivane. Itabule Kazia. Izinata Parakida Avavali Kazida Pai.